What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet, will join us in 1 hour. We'll get the latest, his view of what's been going on with the Nashville Predators and the latest in the NHL. We'll also hear from Titans offensive coordinator Tim Kelly. Mike Vrabel said yesterday that Ryan Tannehill would get the nod if Will Levis is not able to go. So interested to see what Tim Kelly says about that and answering questions after the game this past week. I mean, Tim Kelly gets a slice of the blame pie for the loss against the Texans. I didn't think that was his best body of work in the play calling against the Texans. So we'll hear from Tim Kelly here shortly. But speaking of offensive coordinator, D-Mace, you and I were looking yesterday at lists of coaches on the hot seat. Bill Belichick has been a hot-button topic all season long. The Patriots are terrible. Patriots are going to have a top three, top five pick. Arthur Smith is another one that's on the hot seat. And Falcons owner Arthur Blank was asked about Arthur Smith's future. And he said, well, yeah, we're committed to him through the rest of the season. Something along those lines. Basically saying, after the end of the season, we'll evaluate. There's no guarantees for next year. The Falcons don't look great. Arthur Smith was brought into Atlanta to be the offensive guru head coach. And the offense is struggling. And it really has to do with quarterback. But still, it's a results-based league. You are what your record says you are. And right now, Atlanta's record says Arthur Smith's not a very good coach. If Arthur Smith is fired in Atlanta, should Mike Vrabel hire him? Rehire him, rather.
Oh, wow. God, that's a good question. I would.
Which would mean moving on from Tim Kelly.
I would say no. Not because I don't, because I don't like Arthur Smith or his ability to be an offensive coordinator in this league. I think he has, immense ability or knowledge to be an offensive coordinator in this league, and he proved it here. Now, I don't know. It could just be the quarterback position while they're struggling, and I'm pretty sure it is. So I don't think a guy goes from – because it's not – again, we looked at Arthur Smith here. He had Derrick Henry, who is, to me, a generational player. Derrick is a generational player. You had Derrick Henry. You had a good offensive line. But beyond that, and you had A.J., but they all were young. I think Arthur didn't even spend time with AJ, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he spent 1 year with AJ, his first year. He spent that first year with AJ, I believe, and ended up taking a job. Because AJ was only here 3 years, right?
He left for Atlanta in 20.
20 or 21?
21.
When did AJ leave?
No, he was traded the 22 draft. So 2021 was his last season with the Titans.
So he spent 2 years.
Arthur had AJ his entire tenure as the offensive coordinator.
Okay. So you had a young, you had young weapons on that team. And we saw what they were able to do. But a lot of it was because of Derrick Henry, in that offensive line. But yet and still, he was innovative in what he was doing. He was ahead of plays. He made defenses cover every inch, of the field. So he doesn't just go from that to being a bad offensive coordinator. You got to look at the talent. They have talent, but they don't have a quarterback.
They don't have a quarterback. Their quarterback situation.
The quarterback, if they had a Ryan Tannehill, I think he still would be able to do some of the things that he did here. He would be able to do it in Atlanta. He may be able to do a little bit more because of the versatility of Bijan Robinson. He may have been able to do a little bit more.
Kyle Pitts, Drake London.
So they have, and they got the offensive line. They got a do what they need to do to beef up that offensive line a little bit. So he doesn't just go from a really good offensive coordinator that parlayed that into a head coaching job to a bad offensive coordinator. I just don't think that that's how it works. But if Tim Kelly was at this at his post for 3 years and this offense, his offense hasn't progressed any, it was stagnant, then I would say yes. But because this is Tim Kelly's first year, and I do believe Tim Kelly is a good offensive coordinator in this league, I think if he had an offensive line, this offense would look different. I would say no. Let Tim Kelly. Tim Kelly, it's not like Tim Kelly is just a bad offensive coordinator. He's not. You know, we've seen some things in games where it was like, okay.
He's no Downing.
This is what we've been wanting. You know, stuff like this. Now, he has limitations. Why? Because of the talent. More importantly, the talent on the offensive line. So he has limitations on what he can call. But he hasn't done, the job hasn't been bad where we now, after 1 year, have to go and get another offensive coordinator. No, don't do that. Allow him to work through whatever. Get him some more talent, which you will. And then you see, you know, now it's like, man, just work with what you got. Make the best out of it, and then we'll move forward. We get into the offseason, we'll beef up with whatever we need to beef up. But I don't think the answer would be go out and get Arthur Smith if indeed he does get fired, which I'm not sure he will, but you just don't know. If it gets ugly in Atlanta, like really ugly the last three games, then yes, Arthur Blank may choose to go in another direction. But it seems like Arthur Blank is a reasonable guy. You know, and he's going to give you an opportunity, even though we can say, well, he's given him 2 years.
This is year three.
Yeah, year three. So it's
it
like,
hasn't been good.
You give him 3 years, and, you know, what? They have shown some progress, but I think a lot of their problems, just like the Titans, it's the offensive court, meaning the offensive line, theirs is the quarterback. So if you're asking me if he indeed does get fired, no, don't do it. Let Tim Kelly do his job. I believe this offense, once you beef up the offensive line, the offense will be better. Next year. How much better? I don't know. But this is not a Tim Kelly's fault. What's going on?
We just got done talking about with the offensive line. As far as the offensive line is concerned, everyone is to blame, including Jason Hotailing, because when the offensive line is as bad as this Titans offensive line is, everyone is culpable. But also understanding that he doesn't really have a lot to work with, that coaches and coordinators can only do so much with the weapons that they are given. So with that being said, I think that Tim Kelly can only do so much. He is so handcuffed because of this offensive line. This offense lives and dies by the offensive line. But with that being said, I wasn't here when Arthur Smith was the offensive coordinator. His first year in Atlanta was my first year in Nashville. My first year in Nashville, Todd Downing was the offensive coordinator. So I wasn't covering the Titans when Arthur Smith was the OC. Just from your perspective and what you remember about Arthur Smith, could this Tennessee Titans offense this year be better under Arthur Smith?
No, it can't. That's why? Kind of what I because Arthur Smith, his thing was establish the run with Derrick Henry. We use play action off of that. Well, Tim Kelly's been trying to do that, and it just hadn't worked. So you can go get Arthur Smith if you want to, but if you haven't changed, it goes to, again, what Paul was saying, which I think is right, but it doesn't absolve the offensive line coach of any of this. But what Paul was saying was right. If you get him better offensive linemen, then Tim Kelly will be able to do a better job. He would have more things that he can call. If you don't get this offensive line straight, bringing in Arthur Smith is not going to change anything. Actually, it might make it worse because Arthur Smith is more – I think Arthur Smith is more so of a run guy, and it feeds off the run. It's not the other way around. So it would make his job possibly even harder because he loves to run the football because he feels he has a guy that he can run the football with. But if he ain't got an offensive line, then that ain't going to fly.
He can't run the ball.
Exactly.
He can't pass the ball. You can't do anything. Yeah, you can't protect the quarterback.
Yeah, so going out and get Arthur Smith, it wouldn't be a – just like, you know, the offensive coordinator with Baltimore a few years ago before they hired Monken. It worked for a while with what he was doing. Hell, it allowed Lamar Jackson to get the MVP. But once they started getting injuries. That offensive line wasn't as good. Lamar was, you know, banged up and everything because you're running them crazy. That philosophy doesn't work. You got to be able to expand, and he wasn't able to expand. I'm not saying that Arthur Smith isn't able to expand, because I think he is, but a lot of what he wants to do is predicated off of giving Derrick Henry the ball and then play action off that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you, D-Mace, that I wouldn't bring Arthur Smith back. Mm-mm. If you were in a position that you were in last year with Todd Downing, that it was so bad, the offense was so bad, and then, of course, you know, hashtag playing from Green Bay night, and you knew the writing was on the wall, that it was inevitable that Todd Downing was going to get fired at the end of the season, it'd be an easy decision. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be a slam dunk. Of course he would bring back Arthur Smith, of course, assuming he gets fired in Atlanta. Of course. But with Tim Kelly, as far as Tim Kelly is concerned, I think that, look, the offense hasn't been great, but I think it's been fine. And I think it's been good enough. And there have been, I mean, obviously not good enough because you're 5-9, but I think that the play calling that we've seen from Tim Kelly, it's been exciting. It's been creative. It's been outside the box. It's been a more fun Titans offense to watch than it definitely was last year or the year before. Just the problem is, a lot of times those play calls don't work because the quarterback doesn't have time to throw the football, because the receivers are dropping the football, whatever it might be. So I think that I'm seeing something with Tim Kelly. Now the question is, who do you think is a better coach? Because this was the point that Jared was making last night, that Joe said, look, you don't move on from an offensive coordinator that you think has done a fine job just to go back to your former offensive coordinator. Because let's be honest, Arthur's offense in Atlanta hadn't looked so hot. It's not necessarily like he's, you know, lighting the world on fire. That's why we're even talking about bringing him back in the first place. So that was Joe's point, was, look, you don't move on from something that's been fine. Something that you believe in, and you don't change everything up with a young quarterback and completely change the systems and the calls and the signals just to go back to your old offensive coordinator. But Jared's point was, well, who do you think is a better coach? And I think it's Arthur. So it might sound silly to say, well, no, we're going to not go after a guy that we think is a better coach than our offensive coordinator now. But I think the key is, one, you're in year one with Tim Kelly. You just overhauled the offensive scheme. You have a young and new quarterback. And I think Tim Kelly's been doing a fine job.
Let's go back to the better coach.
Yeah. Who do you think
this, it's not coach? Even the I'm not going to say the better coach argument, because I don't think this is an argument. I think they're both, you know, good in their respect. You know, but let's not, you know, forget what Tim Kelly was able to do in Houston, you know, when he was there as offensive coordinator. They had some good offenses. You know, granted, they had a different Deshaun Watson. I get that. But what he was able to do with Mills Davis, or is it Davis Mills? Davis Mills, yeah. What he was able to do with Davis Mills. You know, we saw it firsthand when they put up 30-something points, almost 40 points against the Titans, and made it very, very, you know, tight for the Titans that last game of the season.
And that was a terrible Texans team.
So when you start saying, well, who's the better coach? I think they're both good at what they do. I think he has just as much skins on the wall as Arthur Smith does, but he just hasn't parlayed that into it being a head coach. Arthur did. He struck gold at the right time, and he was able to parlay that into a job in Atlanta. Tim Kelly wasn't able to do that for whatever reason. But I can't sit here and say, well, Arthur's better than Tim, or Tim's better than Arthur, because I think they both did good things with what they had. You know? So if you want to go get Arthur, fine, do it. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and argue it all day. Like, if you do it, I may argue it that day. Like, why did you do that? It wasn't his fault. I will argue that, but it's like, okay, Arthur, yeah, when he was here, he was good. So how much of an argument do I have other than, well, they fired him in Atlanta. Obviously, he wasn't doing a good enough job. Now you want to bring him back here, but I know how coaches are recycled. So that's just the way it is. But I think they're both good in their respective philosophies. I think that Tim has more of a pass philosophy. He wants to run the ball. Yeah, you got to run it. But I think he thinks more pass than any, you know, than run. And I think Arthur is the other way around. He wants to, you know, he's been in his organization for, you know, years. So he's run first mentality. We got a good back. We're going to run him first. That's why they chose to go get Bijan Robinson instead of a quarterback, because of his philosophy. You know, I think Tim Kelly would have rather go get the quarterback than the running back because of his philosophy. Neither one of them are wrong. That's just what they like to do.
And I look at it like, if you are just looking at it through a vacuum, then I just started my brand new Caroline Fenton football team and I can pick my offensive coordinator off the street. My options are Tim Kelly and Arthur Smith. I'd probably take Arthur Smith, honestly, just because of how this Titans offense looked and how good Ryan Tannehill was under Arthur Smith. That Ryan Tannehill had his best years as a Titan under Arthur Smith. But this isn't in a vacuum.
No.
You're not starting fresh. This isn't an easy decision of just one or the other. But you have a young quarterback. And look, I've never played the game. I don't know how difficult it is to relearn an offense or relearn signals or relearn a playbook. I can't imagine it's the easiest thing in the world. And I can't imagine that two different offensive coordinators in 2 years with your young quarterback is the best thing for his development, whether it's Arthur Smith or not.
Yeah, I mean, before you start changing your offensive coordinator, you need to change the personnel first. You do that, then you see, you know, okay, what do we have? That's why I believe he's going to give Hoetterling another opportunity, because he's thinking, okay, we need to get better personnel. Once we get better personnel, now I can truly evaluate him as a coach, as an offensive line coach. I think that's first and foremost. So I don't think they're going to get rid of Tim Kelly. Even if Arthur Smith gets fired, Vrabel doesn't seem to operate that way. He does. I don't think he's going
to. What way?
In a way of, oh, Arthur's free, let's fire this guy. No, you gave him an opportunity. This is your guy. You brought him on a coaching staff to be pass game coordinator. The day they hired Tim Kelly, I said, this is going to be his job next year. He didn't just bring him in for a reason just to sit there for the next 2 or 3 years. No. He brought him in a reason. Why? Because he wanted to give the other coach another opportunity. I'm going to give you an opportunity now. If you don't, your replacement is right behind you as the passing coordinator. Don't get it twisted in what happened. He didn't get it right, and he elevated him from pass game coordinator to offensive coordinator. So why would you then fire him the next following year? He's not going to do it. You know, if he gets fired, it's because they all got fired. He's just not going to fire Tim Kelly just because Arthur Smith gets fired.
And that's kind of where I'm at. It feels like a very rash, unnecessary decision to make. But I want to get your thoughts on this. And speaking of the devil, we will hear from Tim Kelly here in just a few minutes. But want to get your phones on that first. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Matthew in Nashville texts in, says Desmond Ridder is the problem in Atlanta, not Arthur Smith. Yeah. Tough.
Yeah.
I mean, coaches get hired and fired all the time because of the players that they have around them.
Well, he chose to keep that quarterback when he could have got a quarterback. He chose to keep the incumbent instead of trying to go get another one. So it is his fault.
Yeah.
In a sense.
And I think that's the truth.
Yeah, it's
the
truth.
I think Desmond Ridder is the problem.
Yes.
I mean, they switched to Taylor Heinicke. I mean, a quarterback is a problem in Atlanta. But that's not going to stop Arthur Blank from firing Arthur Smith, I don't think.
No. If he wants to fire him, he's going to fire him.
Yeah.
I don't know what Arthur Blank's going to do. He seems like a sensible guy. Hell, he held on to Dan Quinn for a while, I believe. And then end up ultimately firing him, and that's how they hired Arthur Smith. I think he was the, you know, predecessor. Wasn't he the coach before Arthur Smith?
Dan Quinn?
Yeah. Or did they go through somebody else?
He was.
So, and he gave Dan Quinn enough time to try to get that, you know, that Atlanta train going, and
maybe
they didn't.
Maybe too long.
Yeah, and they didn't. So he seemed to be he seemed to be sort of like a Vrabel. Okay, I'm gonna give you some chances to get this right. I see a flaw. That quarterback, now if you If you get a quarterback and it still ain't right, then now we got to move on, because I don't want a chance you messing up my quarterback. But if you get a quarterback and it's right, all right. It wasn't you, okay? That's the same thing with Tim Kelly. Get the offensive line straightened out, and then we can truly evaluate Tim Kelly. But until then, I mean, I understand how this league is, but until then, Mike Vrabel seemed to operate from the premise of, I'm going to give you another opportunity. Mm-hmm. Once I get you some more talent, I'm going to give you another opportunity.
One texter texts in, says, why would you go back to Arthur Smith, SMH? This is why we will never win a Super Bowl. The idea is you would go back to Arthur Smith if you believe that Arthur Smith is a better offensive coordinator than Tim Kelly. Mm-hmm. That's the line of thinking, that you're going to be better with Arthur Smith than you are with Tim Kelly. And I'm saying, let's address the root of the problem. Mm-hmm. It's the offensive line. It has been all season long. We'll get back into your phones on this, but coming up next, we will hear from Titans offensive coordinator Tim Kelly. I might say that was the worst called game of the year from Tim Kelly against the mm-hmm. Houston Texans. So we'll see what Tim Kelly has to say coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays. Bowl season is back. And 102.5 and 106.3 and 94.9 The Fan is your home for college football bowl games and the college football playoffs, presented by Twin Peaks and Parman Tractor and Equipment. Catch the Boca Raton Bowl tonight at 6:30 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan as South Florida takes on Syracuse. For a list of games carried on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and 94.9 The Fan, hit up our website at thegamenashville.com/bowlgames. Waiting on Tim Kelly to approach the podium. We will carry Tim Kelly's press conference live and in its entirety. But before we hear from Tim Kelly, let's get into some of your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Noah texts in, says Spears needs to average 8 to 10 catches a game with only 2 to 3 being screens. Get him out in space and minimize the impact of poor offensive line play. That's the blueprint until the line improves enough to be an effective blocking unit. What do you think about that?
I mean, you can't go outside of, what you're doing as a, well, let's say you can't go completely outside of what you're doing as an offense just because the offensive line, you know, isn't good. You just got to sort of taper it down to run the things that you believe you can, you know, do within the scheme work of your offense, your philosophy, and the things you can't do, because I don't think you can't start to go outside. They're already having trouble doing what you're asking them to do with the plays that you're running. You can then, you know, you can condense it, yeah, if that's what, you know, the texter mean.
Max protect.
Yeah, just max protect, condense it. But you can't try to now start doing things different that is sort of out of the framework of what your philosophy is, you know?
And I do think that after the Miami game, mm-hmm. Tajay Spears proved to me he deserves to get the ball more.
Yeah, and he getting the ball, because I think this is the problem that I think I ran into in you know, possibly Willie, in regards to when we said Tajay needs to get the ball more. And everybody just thought, oh, that means running a football. You can't take the ball away from Derrick Henry, you know, just to give him. No, it's not about running a football. It's about just touching the football. Mm-hmm. Run, catching it out of backfield, reverses, quick screen, whatever. Get him more involved in the offense that way. It doesn't mean you got to take away carries from Derrick Henry.
Right. It's just adding another layer.
Exactly.
Tim Kelly is up at the podium, so we'll send it over to Tim Kelly now.
Yeah. You know, I would think it would probably be challenging in some situations. For us right now, it's not. Ryan's a pro, and you know, ever since the move was made, he's been coming in and preparing as if he were still the starter. So, you know, not much has changed as far as that regard, and as far as both those two being ready to go, making sure they're clean with the game plan, clean with their responsibilities and their assignments, and you know, we'll both be ready if needed. What do you mean by short?
maybe six and under, something like that?
Yeah. You know, it's probably an area we could be a little bit more efficient on. Tried a couple of those opportunities on Sunday. Didn't work out so great. You know, I've got to do a better job of being able to get those guys open quicker. So we can become more efficient and stay more efficient in that type of passing game.
Would it be a more useful alternative when the run game seems like you're banging your head against the wall?
Maybe. I mean, there's a lot that goes into you know, calling a run or a pass. You know what I mean? It's there's a lot of things that come into play, making sure that you're continuing to try to put your guys in the best position to be successful. Not, you know, obviously for that play, but for the entirety of the game, and you know, trying to take advantage of some of the things and that the defense is presenting you, and also trying to set some things up for later on in the game that maybe you have some complementary plays involved with. So, you know, banging your head against the wall, I wouldn't necessarily say that. Would we like to be more efficient than we were on Sunday? Absolutely. Like the negative yard runs that we had were not good, and it's going to be hard to overcome those if you're consistently having, you know, second and 13, second and 15, because you're giving up a TFL. So we need to do a better job of being more efficient in that area, and, you know, and just can't have the big misses that we had on Sunday.
Your midweek conversations with Will different on a week where you're not certain about his status, or what's it like now as far as him being in meetings and talking?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. It's still making sure that, again, everybody in that room is getting every bit of information they're going to need to go out there and be successful if called upon on Sunday. So, you know, again, and he's in there for every meeting, every install, all the conversations. You know, he's included in having conversations with him, having conversations with Ryan, all those things. So, you know, not much has changed. He's just probably in the training room a little bit more.
In terms of runs, they came on first down. You ran a lot on first down, and you talk about efficiency. How do you balance that? Like, it's time to put that aside. We got to do something different on first down.
Yeah, I think going back to that initial answer that I had, you know, running a lot, like I think we were, what, 15 and 9 on first down total, right? So, yeah, is it slightly two of those runs I think were gadgets, right, whether it was the Wildcat or the reverse. Again, there is a fine line and a fine balance, but especially with the way that we're built, being able to go and make sure that we're able to continue to set up our play actions, our movements, and continuing to make sure that not only are we giving Derek opportunities, but again, we're putting everybody on the field in a position to be successful for the entirety of the game.
And there were a few times where, like, you saw them run blitz, like they were showing that. But then Will still.
Yeah, that one. He's got to make a check on that one. You're talking about the one after Traylon's catch. Yeah, we got to go. Yeah, like we got to get out of that play. So some of that's involved, and whether it's you know, me having a better design and giving him better answers or whatever it may be. But yeah, in that one in particular, like, we need to go the other way.
In terms of his progress, are you confident that if Will has limited or no reps this week, that he can still go out and execute a game plan?
Yeah, I mean, it's he's done a great job of being able to go and again continue to put in the work, you know, making sure he understands what we're getting ready to see, you know, what we're expecting and where we're expecting our guys to be, and again, I think that's just a testament to him and his work ethic and the type of guy that he is.
Change the subject a little bit. In terms of the way Skoronski and Duncan played on Sunday, what do you say to those guys to kind of reel them back in and get them ready for this week?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, show them the things that they did well, show them the things that we need to improve on, and make sure that they understand that we've got another good opponent coming in here and on, you know, however many days from now, 3-4 days. So whether you know, it was a perceived great game or perceived, you know, not so good game, whatever it may be, like, we got another opponent coming in the game. So we got to make sure that we're able to make the strides and make the corrections and improve on the things that we did well on, continue to enhance those, and get ready to go play another team here in a few days.
Will said after the game that there are a couple times maybe that he might have stepped into a sack or two. Do you think that might have been the case? And what can you tell a young quarterback?
Yeah, and really, it's going to come down to us being able to show them, like, hey, You know, whether you're drifting here, whether you're drifting there, you know, you're clean here on this one, and some of that's going to come with experience. And so he's been great in the room, being like, yeah, I see what you're talking about, and the best way for him to continue to grow in that area is to be able to see it, and then us being able to talk about it and what he needs to do better or what he can do differently to avoid those situations.
Obviously, not knowing who's going to play quarterback on Sunday, but how much of a luxury is it that if it's your QB2, he's obviously has a ton of experience and can run this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Ryan, very, very, very happy that Ryan's in the room, and call it a luxury, call it what you will, but not much stress on my end.
Some of the guys this week have said that they don't feel this offense has ever really established a style this year. Do you agree with that, and how would you explain why that's the case?
Being inconsistent, I would say, and for a number of different reasons. So we got to do a better job of being more consistent. I guess I would probably bite back a little bit on the not having a style. I think we have a style. We just got to put ourselves in you know, better situations to be able to play within that style more consistently.
How would you describe that style?
Yeah, a team that when is playing well is a physical team. That is able to not only run the football efficiently, but also able to use play action and do things that we have been able to do at times well, right? So, like, whether, you know, you're looking at different games, different chunks of games, whatever it may be, there are good displays of the style, just not consistent enough for what we need it to be.
What do you do about
– Good.
We're good.
We're good. Thanks, guys. Thanks. Have a good Christmas.
Appreciate it.
All right, that was Titans offensive coordinator Tim Kelly. Interesting last couple of questions there about the style.
Yes.
And it almost seems like a chicken and egg kind of situation. Mm-hmm. Well, do you not have a style because you're inconsistent, or are you inconsistent because you don't have a style? And I kind of think that the root of the inconsistency isn't the style of offensive play. I think it's the personnel.
Yeah.
You can't get in a consistent rhythm. You can't get in a consistent groove because you're just not good enough.
Yeah. That's why I said, you know, it's the players. You have your philosophy, you have your style. And then you try to match your players up with the type of style that you want to play. You know, so he has this style, which I do believe. I mean, everybody knows, if you've been watching the Titans, especially this year, you know that they have a style. At least they have something that they want to do. Like, they have a vision. But because of the, you know, inadequacies of the offensive line, they can't consistently, you know, run that style, or they can't. That style isn't, you know, sustainable because of, you know, what's going on in the offensive line. So their style, they want to be a play-action team. They want to spread you out, multiple, you know, personnel. They always do the multiple personnel, different players coming in, different packages. But they want to run the football, and then off of that, they want to play action. So they have the philosophy. They just don't have the players, which sort of lends to what you're saying. It's like, okay, I know what my style is, but I don't have the players to play that style. Mm-hmm. So what do I do as an offensive coordinator? You know, do I continue to press? Yeah, you have to. You can't completely change everything you want to do just because you don't have the players. What you do is you just condense it some and go out there and try to run the offense with the players that you have. And just put, again, goes back to what I was saying, just put your players in a good position to succeed. What can they do? I don't want to hear about what they can't. What can they do? And let's run our offense based upon what we're thinking around that, you know?
I do find it kind of strange because the Sam Phelan of A to Z Sports asked the question. He said there were some players alluding to not having that offensive style. I didn't hear that. It could have been in some media scrums in the locker room.
Yeah, that's not good.
That comes from the players. That sounds like a direct shot from the players to the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, see, this is a very touchy or a very tricky thing. because I was just listening to a former NBA player who's now a ref. And he said, listen, I would always complain to the refs like, you know, that's a bad call, this and that. But then when I actually got into it, I was like, I feel embarrassed even saying that to him because I don't know what the hell is going, you know, I didn't know it entailed all of this. So I'm almost embarrassed that I even questioned, you know, what he was doing as, or he or she was doing as a ref, because I only saw the surface. I didn't see all the other stuff that goes on with being a ref. It's just like, it's like that with an offensive coordinator. If you're not the quarterback or the center, you know, it's easy to say, you know, because I've done it. I'm not absolving myself of what I'm saying that they're potentially doing. I've done it myself too. You heard, you know, Rick Neuhauser tell you, you know, here, Mason, you call the plays, uh-huh. You know, because I'm like, I'm open.
Like give me the ball. Kingsbury with Kyler Murray.
Exactly.
You go ahead and call him. See how fun it is.
Just about all non-quarterbacks go through that. If they are a player in this league, if they are like that dude, they all go through that. Like, we should have ran there. We should. And then you think about it, you start getting in the room with those guys. You're like, oh, I don't know half of the stuff. Like, I know my position, but I don't. Dang, like, gosh, I know some of this, but in depth, like these quarterbacks and centers, no, my bad. I'm sorry. You know what? I just do my job. You know, if you ask me for, you know, what you like, I'll tell you what I like. But for a player, whoever said it,
I'm trying to.
We don't have a philosophy, or we don't have a style. That's not good. It's not good for the team. It's not good for the offensive coordinator. It's not. That's why I say in situations like that, you do have a style. You haven't been able to, you know, orchestrate what you need to because of, you know, an inept offensive line. If I'm a conductor, you know, whatever they call those. What do they call those men or women that, you know, the symphony, the head person is the. It's not the conductor, is it?
Yeah,
it's right?
A
conductor.
Yeah. I believe it's a conductor.
Yeah,
yes.
Conductor. Yeah. So like. If, as a conductor, I don't have a good saxophone player or somebody and they're horrible, it's like, you know, I want to do this, but I can't do this. It doesn't mean, like, I don't have the vision.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know what to do. It's just that my saxophone player is horrible. So I can't.
So it's the saxophone player.
I can't give him or her a solo. I can't add them in, like, in the breaks and all this other stuff like I want to. That's Tim Kelly. We got a philosophy, but because the offensive line, I can't do what I want to do, but the philosophy is there. We're trying to do it. So I would tell players, whoever said that, like, just back up a little bit, you know, because I've been at fault of – I'm not telling you something that I have not done myself.
Right.
And I've been at fault at that myself. And okay. Then I had a time to look, think back, and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have said that.
We're all guilty of it,
exactly.
Of criticizing the higher-ups, even though mm-hmm. we probably aren't. Totally a breath of
what's
exactly
going
what's going on
exactly.
in the inside. But even just the feeling mm-hmm. that a player would feel that way.
Yeah.
That's concerning.
It is concerning.
That they feel that way and express that to the media.
Exactly.
They never want to, you know, blame it on the guy who plays a tambourine. I mean, come on.
He is the weakest link. It's
the
always
tambourine guy.
Player.
Yeah, it's always the tambourine player.
It goes out innocent.
All right, we'll get right back into your phones coming up next. Plus, did you see the injury report for the Titans yesterday? What does that mean for this Titans team, especially coming up against the Seahawks on Sunday? We'll get into your phones. We'll get into that. Caroline, Willie, D, Mace, 1025, 1063, the game. Caroline, Willie, D, Mace, 1025, 1063, the game and the Game Nashville app. Want to get into your phones, but before we get into your phones, D, Mace, did you see the Titans injury report yesterday?
You mean that MASH unit?
You mean the novel?
Exactly.
Daniel Brunskill, ankled, did not practice. Aaron Brewer, ankled, did not practice. Treylon Burks, illness, did not practice. Jack Gibbons, back, did not practice. Luke Gifford, hamstring, did not practice. Amani Hooker, knee, did not practice. Will Levis, ankle, did not practice, but we knew that.
Mm-hmm.
TK McClendon shoulder, did not practice. We're getting to the point in the season. We're getting some guys in the injury report that I'm like, who?
Exactly.
So. Sean Murphy Bunting, hip, did not practice. Kyle Phillips, hamstring, did not practice. Jeffrey Simmons, knee, did not practice. We knew that. Kevon Wallace, quad, did not practice. Trevon Wesco, shin, did not practice. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, hand, did not practice. NWI was placed on the injury report yesterday, so Nick Westbrook-Ikhine's season
What happened
is
to Nick
over.
NWI?
I didn't see
I it. Didn't see it either. Yeah, I'm like, when that showed up on IR, I'm like, what happened to him?
Did you see it, Nick? Did you notice it in the Texans game? I didn't.
No, I was kind of confused as to where it all, like, what series it happened,
like,
what
when
quarter.
When did it happen? Because exactly. I don't ever remember there being an instance of, in the game where it was like, oh, no, he's mm-hmm. down. He's going to be out. I don't ever remembering a time in the game that I'm thinking, where's Nick Westbrook-Ikhine?
And it was his hand?
That very often.
Is what they said?
Hand. And he's on IR.
Hand? Did he
so
break
it? Like a
it?
Broken hand? That sounds like a helmet to hand, maybe?
Yeah, it must have happened. I don't know. I mean, I didn't see, after he made that big catch, I didn't really, he may have had one more catch after that, but I didn't see, like, where he would have gotten hurt unless he got hurt on that catch that he made, you know, on the 2-yard line.
Maybe.
You know, he fell awkwardly. He might have fell on his hand. But I didn't notice.
Yeah,
him,
I never or,
yeah, I didn't. Other I than didn't, that, yeah. Notice him coming off like the trainers.
Right, I
yeah.
didn't notice it. But Nick Westbrook-Ikhine done for the season. Now, of course, this was the injury report yesterday. We'll mm-hmm. have another injury report this afternoon, after they practice this afternoon, that could be a little bit more favorable mm-hmm. for the outlook for this team. The game on Sunday, I understand that there are a lot of Titans fans out there that are checked out. Not you know, you're out of the playoffs, so what does it matter anyway? But I'm getting to the point where I'm thinking, D-May is like, who's playing? Who's on the offensive line? If Aaron Brewer and Daniel Brunskill can't go, who is protecting the quarterback? Who is catching passes from the quarterback if both Treylon Burks and NWI are out on Sunday? That's also making the assumption that Treylon Burks would be out.
Man. Yeah, you're right. Who do they have? I mean, okay, NWI can't go.
He's on IR.
So you have
do Chris they Moore.
Chris Moore, D-Hop, Treylon.
Mason Kinsey.
Because Phillips is on the injury report,
Phillips
right?
Phillips is on the injury report with a hamstring.
Ooh.
I am getting dangerously close to labeling Kyle Phillips in the same category as maybe I have.
Fulton.
Like, same category as Fulton of, look, if you can stay healthy and do something for this team, great, but if I can't hold my breath.
Yeah. So I'm sure I'm
at that point with Treylon Burks as well.
I'm sure they will, if they need to activate guys, you know, in front of practice squad if need be. I need to see, because this is, I mean, they're thin at wide receiver anyway. And then when one of your guys you rely on a lot, and Nick has been pretty good this season. He's made some big plays for them.
I've been pleasantly surprised.
Exactly. So,
by Joe Retro's
Colton Dowell, I mean, you can act, is he on IR? No, he's not on IR. So you can activate Colton Dowell.
Man.
Kears Jackson is on IR. They never brought him off, so you can't activate him. So, yeah, you may just, I mean, you may have to go with four receivers, you know, unless Phillips can play. And then you have that. You have Phillips,
Burks,
Mason Kinsey, D-Hop, Moore. That may be all you need.
But Treylon Burks on the injury report again, and I know it's an illness. If I had to guess, this is not a report. If I had to guess, you know, Mike Vrabel talked a lot about the flu last
week.
He could have the flu. It's just always something with him.
Yeah.
It's always something with Burks. It's always something with Phillips. Caleb Farley was back out on the practice field
yesterday. Caleb Farley has been a participant on the practice field. You know, he's had such a – it's just it. Nothing has gone right since his draft. Nothing has gone right. Well, hell, since his senior year, nothing has gone right because he couldn't play his senior year, the COVID year. Then he gets to the NFL, automatically gets injured Again, he already came in with, you know, a suspected injury.
The back surgery.
So, and it just hadn't been right for him. So, you know, I do wish he could, I wish he could get an opportunity to play these last three games so you can see something. But yeah. I'm not sure past this season, will he be on the roster or not? I don't know. But
again,
this team is.
I'm not going to hold my breath.
Yeah, this is like a, you know, don't tell me who's not practicing. Just tell me who is.
Maybe that's a shorter list.
Yeah, we'll go from there. And this is typically what happens at the end of – sometimes at the end of the year when you have a bad team, mm-hmm. then, you know, for whatever reason, all these injuries start to occur toward the end of the season. And then
– For whatever reason.
Yeah. And then I
got to make – Crazy, isn't it?
Exactly. Then I got to make the decision as a GM and head coach, do I put this guy on IR?
Right. You know, and it's to the point where if you're 50-50 mm-hmm. – injury-wise, and you're in the playoffs, mm-hmm. you could probably
exactly.
push yourself to be through. Able to play. You're mm-hmm. out of the playoffs, you're probably mm-hmm. not playing.
No.
It's the same thing with Aaron Rodgers. You know, Aaron Rodgers was activated off of IR, and mm-hmm. he said, well, I'm not going to play unless I'm 100%. He's been getting a lot of, you know, public vitriol, like, mm-hmm. well, if your team was in the playoffs, you'd play. Like,
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. It's like, duh.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But we're not.
Correct.
So I'm not playing.
Bingo. We'll chat with Elliot Friedman here in just a few minutes, but before we chat with Elliot, want to get your thoughts. Keith is on the line. What's up, Keith?
Hey, the Titans have just quit because they can't make the playoffs. So, I mean, what's the point in playing?
All right. Thank you for your call, Keith.
He said they should just quit.
Just quit?
I mean, I don't know if they can just forfeit.
Just quit? Yeah. No point in playing.
They're not going to quit. And hopefully he meant that, you know, tongue in cheek. But they have so many injuries, and this team isn't good from a talent standpoint. They're not going to quit, but man, oh man, it's going to be difficult.
It's
going to
be a rough.
Yeah, rough three games. Yeah.
It's going to be a rough 3 weeks. Elliot Friedman of the 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet will join us coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.